4:37, "Alas, and did my Savior bleed?" Following that hymn, we'll follow the order of Vespers. It's on page 229 and following. No insert for tonight. When we get to the spot where we would normally do the introit, we'll speak together Psalm 43. Several psalms are in the front of our hymnal. They're in numerical order. I'll get you to the right page. Psalm 43, we'll read together. Our long reading for tonight, our passion reading, is a part of our continued reading of the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ as drawn from the four Gospels. Tonight we are at the palace of the high priest, and you'll notice the contrast between Judas and Peter. And then our sermon tonight, the sermon text is printed out for you on page 2 of the bulletin. Our sermon tonight is on love and truth. Love and truth. We pray that God would richly bless us as we hear His word of truth, tonight. Give you a short vicar update. You'll see that we're still vicarless here. Vicar had his fourth and hopefully final chemo treatment today in Omaha. His hemoglobin numbers are up ever so slightly, so they're moving in the right direction, and we are very, very thankful for that. He is anxious and chomping at the bit to get back to work. He has been officially grounded for the next 2 weeks, which means he can't drive, and he's not supposed to stand. So we may be able to get him back for some light duty, but we're going to go have to get him, and then he's going to have to sit in front of us. So we don't want to hurry anything too much. We want to go slow. We're kind of shooting for Easter, and if that be the Lord's will. So we'll see where that goes. He's better by a degree, but not out of the woods yet. So please keep him in your prayers, and we pray that God would continue to grant healing to our vicar, Lawson Short. Before we sing our opening hymn, let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that you shower down upon us. We thank you for the gift of truth. Your word is truth. We thank you for the fellowship that comes for all those who cling to your word of truth. Preserve us from error, from false teaching, from false doctrine, and help us to cling today and always to that truth, which is Jesus Christ, for us and for our salvation. Heavenly Father, be with Vicar Short. We thank you for preserving his life and blessing the healing process. Continue to bless the doctors, the nurses, the caregivers, and the medicines to bring about healing, full and complete. We commit him to your gracious mercy and protection, praying not our will, but thy will be done. All these things, Lord, we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen, to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 437. Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ as drawn from the four Gospels. Part 3, the palace of the high priest. Those who had arrested Jesus brought him to the high priest's house, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Peter followed him afar off, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known to the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood outside the door. So that other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the doorkeeper and brought Peter in. He went in and sat with the servants to see the end. He was warming himself at the fire they had kindled in the middle of the courtyard. Meanwhile, the chief priests and the whole council were seeking evidence that might make the case for a death sentence, but they could not find any. Many bore false witness against him, but their statements did not agree. Two stepped forward and said, "We heard him say, 'I shall destroy this temple made with hands, and after 3 days I shall build another, not made with hands.'" But even on this point, their evidence did not agree. Then the high priest stood up, moved to the center, and put this question to Jesus. "Do you have no answer? What is this evidence they have given against you?" But Jesus was silent and gave no answer. Again, the high priest put a question to him and said, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" Jesus said, "I am. You will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of God's power and coming with the clouds of heaven." The high priest tore his garments and said, "Do we still need any witnesses? You have heard this blasphemy. What is your opinion? They all agreed that Jesus was deserving of death. Then some of them began to spit on him. They blindfolded him, struck him, and said to him, "Prophesy to us, Christ. Who is it that struck you?" The guards beat him as they took him away. Meanwhile, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. One of the maidservants of the high priest came and saw Peter warming himself. She looked at him closely as he sat in the light of the fire and said, "You also were along with that man from Nazareth, that Jesus." Peter denied it and said, "I do not know what you mean." He went out into the forecourt. Another maidservant saw him there and said to those who were standing around, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Peter denied it again with an oath, "I do not know the man." A little later, those standing around said to Peter, "Surely you are one of them. You are a Galilean. Your accent gives you away." Peter started calling down curses on himself and swore, "I do not know the man." Immediately, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed a second time, and the Lord turned and looked on Peter. Then Peter remembered that Jesus had said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." Peter broke down and went out and wept bitterly. As soon as it was morning, the chief priests with the elders and the scribes held the court session with all the Sanhedrin. Then they bound him, led him away, and turned him over to Pilate. Then Judas, who had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, was sorry and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, "I have sinned. I have betrayed innocent blood." They said, "What is that to us? That is your affair." Judas threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed. He went and hanged himself. The chief priest took the silver pieces and said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood." They took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. That is why to this day that field has been called the field of blood. In this way was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "They took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him on whom a price had been set by the children of Israel, and gave them for the potter's field." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Lenten Responsory, page 231. Deliver me, O Lord, my God, for you are the God of my salvation.
Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me.
In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. Leave me not, O Lord, my God.
Rescue me from my enemies.
My God, for you are the God of my salvation.
Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me.
A reading from St. John's first letter, the second and third chapters.
Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they are not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy Spirit, and you have all knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you have heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything, and is true, and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. And no one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this evening is the next selection from John's first letter, chapters 2 and 3. Dear friends in Christ, this is the last hour. We are living in the final days. The day of salvation is nearer now than the hour when we first believed, coming as a thief in the night. The day is surely coming soon. It draws near to the door when Jesus will be revealed, shown in all of his glory to every eye. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And while many will weep on that day, there are some who will rejoice. For those who believe will be revealed as well, shown forth as who they are, who they have been since the day of their anointing, the day of their baptism. We will be revealed as God's children, like our brother Jesus. then we shall see him as he is. Others will recoil in terror, for they were antichrist, against Christ, opposed to Christ, even if they dwelt in the outward fellowship of the Christian church. On that day, all who were beholden to the evil one, the arch antichrist, Satan, will be revealed. Their wickedness will be shown for every eye to see. For they followed the lie. They listened to the lie. They followed the liar. And they spoke the lie to others. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist. He who denies the Father and the Son. Any who deny the Son have not the Father either. That is why they are antichrist. They deny the Christ. They stand against the Anointed One. Now many do this quite openly, and they're very easy for you to spot. No one can deny that a Muslim or an atheist is against Christ. In fact, they'll tell you so. But much more dangerous are the subtle antichrists. Those who remain in the outward fellowship of the church, who sit in the pew, and yet are against Christ. They may say all the right words, but their deeds reveal who they are. They deny him in their lives. You see, the Antichrist is above all a hypocrite, confessing Jesus with the lips, but denying him with deeds. And as the last hour approaches, as the daylight draws nearer, those who are of the darkness flee the light that shines from the church and therefore reveal themselves. They went out from us, St. John says, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they are not of us. Dear friends, it is a blessing when antichrists reveal themselves by leaving the fellowship of the church. It's a blessing. Now we pray that they would be turned back to the truth, that they would cling to the truth and stay in the truth. But if they persist in the lie, their departure is like getting rid of cancer. The surgery is painful, but it is necessary. For the Antichrist lives on a steady diet of lies, fed to them by their master, the father of lies, Satan himself. And the Antichrist don't only listen to the lie. They do not only keep that lie to themselves. They teach the lie. They bring the lie to others. They try to convince you of the lie. Some antichrists deny that Jesus is true God. Some others deny that he is true man. Some antichrists deny that they are sinners. Others deny that sin matters. The lie that they have been taught by their master is the first lie, the oldest lie, the very first words that came forth from Satan. Did God really say? It is the word that the antichrists deny each and every time. And when they do not find welcome in the Christian church, where people stop their ears to the lies, they depart. And then they entice others to come follow them. That's why John writes this letter in the first place. He writes, "I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. Do not fall for their tricks. Do not listen to the lie. They want to teach you the deep things of Satan. They claim a secret knowledge about God, apart from or even contrary to the Word of God. Do not believe them. The anointing that you received from Him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as His anointing teaches you everything, and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in Him." Dear friends, you have been anointed. You are the baptized, anointed by the Holy Spirit. You have received the Holy Spirit in the font, the Spirit of truth, in whom there is no lie. You are Christians, anointed ones, anointed by the anointed one, the Christ. You are not Antichrist, you are Christians. And there is no secret knowledge that goes beyond what God delivered to you at the font. God's word was given to you there, and its truth dispels the lie. You don't need the lie, dear friends. You have the truth. You have been anointed by the Holy One, and you have all knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. You don't need the slick lies of the Antichrist, who teach you to doubt and deny God's word. You don't need new revelations or new interpretations of the Scriptures. You don't need to go beyond what God has recorded for you. Dear friends, you have all knowledge because you have been baptized into Christ. You have all knowledge because you have the Holy Spirit. Now, John doesn't mean that you have no need of teachers or teaching. What he means is that without this anointing, any teaching is worthless, and I'm just wasting air. It means that without the Holy Spirit, teaching, any teaching, is worthless. That you need nothing beyond what the Holy Spirit gives. You have no use for lies. You know the truth because you know Jesus. Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, truth incarnate. He has been baptized, anointed in the Jordan River as the sin bearer. As the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove, and the Father's voice boomed forth, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He was anointed to take away sin forever. St. John writes, "You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin." Jesus was anointed to bear the sin of the world, your sin and mine, to the cross, to bear in his own body the punishment, the penalty for all of our transgressions, to remove sin from us for eternity. This is the love of God for you and for me, for his fallen, sinful creation. This is the truth that the scriptures proclaim, the truth which destroys the lie. A loving God would not lie to you. The lie gives no comfort, no salvation. Only the truth can do that. God is love, and he is love in and through Jesus. Jesus speaks only the truth because he is the truth. He speaks the truth about your sin, calling you out on your hypocrisy when you have followed the Antichrist in doubting and even denying God's word. He speaks the truth to call you to repentance, to drive you to himself. For Jesus delights to speak another truth in love. This is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. He speaks the truth about the salvation that he appeared in this world to win, the salvation that he continues to deliver to us. He speaks the truth about your identity, hidden in this world, but no less true. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. He speaks the truth about your identity, so that the hour that is coming is not one to be feared, but one to be welcomed with joy. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. Dear friends, the last hour is coming. It is approaching. It is coming soon. That last hour when all things will be made clear, all people will be revealed. Jesus will be revealed, appearing to the world as its Savior and Judge. The Antichrists, they will be revealed to their terror, their evil plain for all to see. And you will be revealed. The mystery will be made clear. What the eye cannot see, nor the mind conceive, nor human words express, will finally be revealed. You will not shrink back in shame on that day, for you are the anointed, the baptized, the forgiven, the saved in Christ, children of God forever. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we shall see him as he is. This is the truth, and this is love, Christ's love for you. You are a Christian, an anointed one, and you will be like Christ, the anointed one, to dwell without shame in his glory forever. In the name of Jesus, amen. We stand and we sing our canticle, the Magnificat, page 231. Let my prayer rise before you as incense.
Holy Lord,
Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pad at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this evening. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of forgiveness, full and free, through Jesus Christ, a truth that the world will deny but is true nonetheless, would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
Testing.
One of the great joys that we have during this Lenten season is to hear the public profession of faith from our junior confirmants. We have been hearing their questioning answers throughout the year. We've got one more of our four-part questioning sessions to hear. We are hearing now the essays that our junior confirmants have composed and are now delivering orally to the congregation. Tonight we have Emma Robler, and her essay is on Psalm 23, verse 4. Emma, take
it away. Hi, my name is Emma Robler, and my essay verse is Psalm 23, 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I picked this verse because I thought that it was very meaningful. It shows great promise, strength, and comfort. First of all, this verse says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, this shows law. We sin. Everyone does. It comes naturally to us. Sin is our darkest valley, and most sin is dark, so the consequence can be dark or shadowed. A way that I like to think of it as is that this verse is saying that this valley is shadowed because we have strayed away from Christ. Christ is my light and my path, but if we stray too far away from him, his word and his light, then maybe that's why our valley is so dark. This valley becomes dark because of our sins. Also, this valley is dark because of the evil temptations that have brought us here. This valley of the shadow of death that we have chosen to walk through could be filled with so many unknown things, more sin to take us further away from Christ, his path, word and light. The valley of the shadow of death is also referring to the wages of death. So many would normally fear this dark place, but with God we don't have to. Secondly, this verse says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This shows gospel. This shows gospel because it's saying how Jesus is our Savior. During times of struggle and danger, Jesus is also there to comfort us with his rod and staff. Jesus is our shepherd. Our shepherd is our Savior. Our shepherd's rod symbolizes his power and authority. His power and authority should comfort us in our darkest times and through the darkest valleys. For example, God used his power or his rod in the splitting of the Red Sea. Also, this verse mentions his staff. His staff symbolizes how God will protect us in any way that we need. A shepherd uses a staff to help him drive off or other wild animals to keep them away from his flock of sheep. So God will protect his children with his staff as a shepherd does with his sheep. So with his rod in his hand, we have no reason to fear any evil because he has the power and authority to comfort us. Through any bad situation that we are in. Therefore, we know God will comfort us with his rod and staff. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep and gets forgiveness for us by rising from the dead. God laid down his life on the cross, was buried in a tomb, and the next day rose from the dead and left the tomb empty. All for the forgiveness of our sins. For example, John 10 verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Also verses 14 through 15 say, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I find all of these verses very reassuring. They prove that Jesus loved us enough to lay down his life for our sins. God's forgiveness will help us stay away from our valley of the shadow of death. I chose this verse because I thought that it had a really good meaning. This verse tells me that no matter where I am in life, I can count on God to be there for me. He will always protect, comfort, and forgive me no matter what. So, in my mind, I can think that there is no need to worry as long as I walk on God's path. If I am going through a tough time at school, I can think that, and it will remind me that everything will be okay. Even if I'm having trouble with family, I can always count on God to be there for me and help me through anything. I love this verse so much because the message that it sends to people. To me, it shows that you are never alone. God, his light, word, and path will always be there guiding us through our darkest valley, whatever it may be. In conclusion, this verse is a very great verse in my opinion. It shows law, gospel, and has an amazing meaning that you can always look back on. It tells you that even though we have sin and sometimes we get off track, he will still be there to comfort and protect us. We can always count on his rod and his staff to guide us through our darkest valleys. His rod is his power. It is great and reminds us that we are in good hands. His staff shows us how he will always protect us. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Psalm 23, 4. I hope this verse and its meaning can comfort you as much as it does for me. Thank you for listening to my essay.
Thank you. Our service continues and concludes with the prayers of the church. We begin on page 233 with the Kyrie. Please stand as you're able. Lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for guiding us and leading us by the power of the Holy Spirit into all truth, the truth of our sin, the truth of our inability to save ourselves, the truth of your great love that prompted you to send a Savior, your Son, the truth of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus for us and for our salvation, the truth of the delivery of the deliverance in the waters of holy baptism, the truth that you are with us always, even unto the end of the age. Heavenly Father, bless us, guide us, and comfort us with this truth, and help us to abide in it each and every day of our lives. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, as you have given us this truth in Christ and his word, help us to be good stewards of the truth. Bless every aspect of our congregation that the truth of Jesus and the forgiveness that only he can bring would be at the heart, core, soul, and center of all that we do. Bless especially the educational agencies of our church, our Sunday school, our vacation Bible school, our adult Bible studies, our school, and our preschool. May your word of truth resound always. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our
prayers. Heavenly Father, as you have blessed us with this truth, help us to take this truth and proclaim it to the four corners of the world. Bless the mission activity of our congregation. Bless especially our radio station, our work in Haiti, and as friend of Good Shepherd, Dick Beathy, is leaving for Haiti tomorrow on a mission trip, guide him and protect him as he brings the truth to a people far away. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Great physician of body and soul, you chasten and you heal. We beg you to show mercy to all of your servants who are sick or suffering this day. We ask for a special measure of your healing touch to Lyle Muth, Vicar Short, Deborah Baker, Joe Velasquez, and all those that we remember in our hearts. Heavenly Father, if it be your good and gracious will, grant healing. And we beg you to grant grace, mercy, and favor to these your servants in the midst of their affliction. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Eternal Father, you alone make decisions concerning life and death. We ask you to show mercy to your servants Dorothy and Helen, whose deaths seem imminent. If it be your gracious will, restore them and lengthen their earthly life. But if not, keep them in their baptismal grace and in your abiding care. Give them repentant hearts, firm faith, and a lively hope. Let not the fear of death cause them to waver in confidence and trust. At your chosen time, grant them a peaceful departure and a joyous entrance into everlasting life with the glorious company of all your saints. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Please be seated. We had about 25 verses or so for our text tonight, the longest of our sections on 1 John. And in that section, we heard God's exhortation and encouragement to abide with Him time after time after time. It is only appropriate that we close tonight with hymn 878, Abide With Me.
Lord,
love Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Couple of quick announcements before we dismiss. Check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes for all the activities and events in the days and weeks ahead. So stack them on the back shelf there as you exit the church. Also, we've got some few devotions left for the Lenten journey. They're based on the Lord's Prayer and very good. Check those out. We have choir up in the balcony. Continue our study of Psalm 119 in the fellowship hall. Thank you, Pastor Kirk. Lifelight tomorrow at 1 o'clock. We have our school benefit auction gala Friday evening. I can't tell if there's somebody sitting out there or not. If you didn't buy your tickets, I don't know if it's too late or not, but hopefully they can still get one. Also, if you're not gala bound, the Lutheran fraternity on campus, Beta Sigma Psi, how'd I do? All right, very good. They're having a fish feed on Friday, March 9, 5 to 8:30 at the Lutheran Chapel. And I was told $5 a pop. I went to a fish feed a couple of Fridays ago at the Knights of Columbus Hall here in town, and it was $9 a piece. So this is a bargain. All right? So is it all you can eat? Okay, well, come late and I guarantee it'll be all you can eat then. All right, so help them out. It's a great cause. And between the auction fish gala on Friday night and the fish fry, you got no excuse to stay home. All right. Pastor, anything else? All right. Have a great day, week, and life in the truth that is Jesus. And remember to keep Vicar in your prayers.